I chose that particular poem for two reasons. The first is to respond to the question in the early lines, "Ask me if what I have done is my life. Ask me if what I have done is my life." My answer to that question is a resounding no, because I think we are so much more than what has happened in the past. We are also present, and we are future possibilities. I also like the symbolism of the frozen river. Notably, the poet recognizes that the present state of the river is not its permanent state. There are comings and goings from miles away, currents below the surface. There is potential waiting to be set free. So as you might have read in my bio and Becky announced this morning, it is true that I am a flying trapeze instructor. I'm just part-time, but my wife, Mandy, is an experienced, long-time, full-time trapeze instructor. That is her only job. And she's also a serious flyer. Flyer is our lingo for anyone who is taking classes or who is training to perform. We work for a company called Trapeze School New York, which has a couple locations around the country. Ours is in downtown Washington, D.C. at the Navy Yard, near the Nationals ballpark. Now, when hearing about this somewhat unusual activity, many people ask me variations of the question, how did you get into that, or why did you get into that? And so this morning I'm going to talk about learning and teaching and tell you some of our story. Mandy took her first trapeze class about 4 years ago with a friend she was visiting in New York City. Now, on one hand, it's not surprising that she take a trapeze class because she did some gymnastics as a kid, and honestly, her parents were in the circus. They stopped long before she was born, but it's true that her father worked as a clown and her mother rode elephants for a traveling show called Mills Brothers. However, it's also true that Mandy is afraid of heights. But her interest outweighed her fear, and she was thrilled when someone at that New York school told her that the company had a branch down here. Indeed, the school's slogan, which is, "Forget fear, worry about the addiction," turned out to be extremely true in Mandy's case. She just couldn't get enough. And at that point, when she had just taken a few classes, she was ready for a career change. And so we agreed that between jobs, she could take 8 weeks to prioritize her flying and discern what she wanted to do next. When she asked one of the senior instructors what she should do during this 8 week intensive time, he asked how serious was she about flying? Where did she want to go with it? And then something happened that neither of us saw coming. He asked if she wanted to train to teach. She was floored. And in a relatively short time, sold. So we agreed to make it work. And for the last 3 years, she's been a full-time flying trapeze instructor.
Mandy was completely sold on the idea of training to become a flying trapeze instructor. And while it's a little bit hard to accept, I face the truth. My wife has gone circus. And for my part, when Mandy first started flying, I was definitely interested in trying it out. I had always wanted to do gymnastics, but never got around to it. But at the same time that Mandy was starting flying trapeze, I was starting seminary and was quite busy because I was still working. And I think it's pretty good for couples to have some different interests, so I kept my distance. I took a few classes, and that was fine. Eventually, though, my resistance to trapeze turned out to be futile. I took a few more classes, and I was hooked. It was somewhat of a coming-out experience. Mandy? Yes, Rob. I have something that I need to tell you. Oh? Well, what is it? I think I love trapeze. I can't remember if she gloated or taunted or cheered at that point, but there was definitely some form of celebration. And for the rest of the story to make sense, I need to give you a clearer picture of what actually happens at a trapeze school. Each trapeze rig consists of a net, a swinging trapeze bar for the flyer, a bar for the catcher, and a board where the flyers take off. The board is 23 feet off the ground. The net is about 10 feet off the ground. Until reaching advanced levels, every flyer is wearing a safety belt and clipped into safety lines from the moment they start climbing the ladder to the board until they roll out of the net and have their feet planted firmly back on the ground. During the first 90 minutes or so of class, flyers practice tricks or other elements of flying, and then for those who want to and who have the right timing of their trick, the last 30 minutes of the class is reserved for catching. That's when the catcher gets up in that second trapeze and, while swinging upside down, attempts to reach out and grasp the flyers at the wrist. And here's an important part of trapeze protocol that often proves to be one of the most difficult things for flyers to remember. You do not catch the catcher. The catcher catches you. If a flyer's hands are moving, a condition we refer to as grabby hands, there will be no catch. You can't catch a moving target like that. And when that happens, they simply end up in the net as they would otherwise. And it's not surprising that most flyers will have grabby hands at some point. I think for most of us, if we're sailing through the air and we see something that could hold us up, we want to grab it. The intellectual knowledge that we are supposed to catch the catcher is superseded by that primal desire to avoid falling. Trust is enormously important in flying trapeze. Although the equipment is tremendously important, few, if any, new flyers seem to have any concerns about trusting the actual hardware. Instead, students tend not to trust the human parts of the process. Some folks aren't sure about whether or not they can trust the instructors. They're not sure if the staff person working the board really does have a firm hold of their safety belt as we lean them out over the edge to reach the bar. They're not sure if it's truly safe to do what the staffer says is necessary to take off, which is to climb that riser ladder, to climb the ladder, hold on to the riser with your left hand, step with your toes to the edge of the board, push your hips forward, lean your shoulders back, and then be leaned out over the edge. Now, most folks are okay with that process, and the staff person is fully braced behind them. The flyers are not going anywhere. Even when you let go of that last hand and are hanging there only by the staff person holding your belt and the flyer holding the bar. Now, the staff people are all trained to do this, and in fact, it's not that difficult to hold someone in that position, but many people don't believe that. They don't trust it. And so they ask, "Do you have me? Are you sure that you have me? You're not going to drop me, right? You're not going to let go?" Now, of course, we are going to let go. That is the point, but that's not what they want to hear at that particular time. I say, we won't let go until you're ready. Now, what flyers are vocalizing this is a lack of trust for staff people, but I think what people really aren't trusting is their own selves. They don't trust their minds and their bodies. They don't trust their ability to learn, to do something new. Now, theologically, we Unitarian Universalists come from a tradition that places an incredibly high value on learning. The desire to study the Bible from an academic and historical perspective, and instead of just a purely religious one, was one of the key developments that distinguished early Unitarians from other Christians. Our forebears also adopted a very different approach to teaching religion, and it's still critical to how we operate today. to the person most responsible for defining American Unitarianism, William Ellery Channing, put it this way. The great end in religious instruction, he said, is not to stamp our minds upon the young, but to stir up their own. Not to make them see with our eyes, but to look inquiringly and steadily with their own. Not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire a fervent love of truth. On one hand, we need to trust ourselves and our abilities to learn. On the other hand, sometimes there's simply not going to be progress without some outside support. When Mandy first suggested that I should become a catcher, I immediately ruled it out as an utterly ridiculous impossibility. I mean, flying every week or two or every month was fun and all, but I was a faith-based lobbyist training for the ministry. Working at a flying trapeze school was not part of my plan. Each time she brought it up, which happened about 6 times, I shot it down immediately. However, the idea was planted and would not go away. A few months later, I gave in. So, Mandy? Yes, she says. She can tell from the plaintive, somewhat sheepish tone of my voice that something interesting is coming. Do you really think I could become a catcher? Yes, she says, absolutely. So I agreed to give it a shot. So to get up to the catch trap, that second trapeze, one walks across the net and climbs a rope. That part was fine. But once I was up there sitting in the catch trapeze, I was shockingly scared. Mandy wanted me to swing back and forth a bunch, but all I could do was sit there with a death grip on the cables. After a few minutes, I climbed back down the rope and wondered what on earth I had been thinking. But Mandy reassured me that I had done fine, that learning is a process that simply takes time. And so, once or twice a week, for months, I would climb up into the catch trapeze and do a little bit more. More often than not, one of my coaches would encourage me to do the next step before I thought I could handle it. And with no exceptions I can think of, they were always right. Eventually, I was doing everything well enough that it was time for me to try catching someone. That first someone, of course, was Mandy. She would be doing the safest trick, which is the one every new flyer learns, a knee hang, which is hanging by your knees from the bar. My job was simply to keep doing everything that I had been doing, except that this time I would also reach out and catch that person, my wife, who would be swinging from the other bar. When the time came, Mandy's hands were exactly where everyone told me they would be. All I had to do was reach out and grab them, which I did. It was amazing. Once again, my coaches were right. I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think I was ready. I didn't know if I would ever be ready. But I was, and they knew it. When I look back on the experience, one of the things that sticks out most is how consistently the next step in learning went from seeming utterly impossible to seeming possible, to seeming probable, and then actually happening. When I couldn't even swing back and forth, the thought of actually catching someone was nonsense. Now I'm actually paid to catch people. Amazing. So I've developed a way of thinking about this process of learning that I'd like to share, and I think of it as a horizon model. Now I'll add the disclaimer that I don't know a whole lot about educational theory, so this is really only my personal musing. So picture yourself standing in the middle of a gigantic field, looking off in some direction at that point where earth and sky meet, the horizon. That's where you want to go. immediately in front of you, you can clearly see where your next steps will take you. It may not be easy or quick, but you can see the way forward. You can see what you're about to learn, and it feels possible. The closer your gaze gets to the horizon, though, the harder it is to see where you're going. You can imagine learning some of it, but it's fuzzy. And then there's a lot that's just too far off to comprehend. Other people can tell you what's there. They can reassure you that you can handle it. But ultimately, it's not going to make sense until you have walked forward far enough that what used to be over the horizon comes into view. The more you learn, the closer it gets, the more you can picture yourself learning it or doing it. The landscape continuously changes as you move forward, learning. One of the most important lessons I've learned from flying trapeze, in part from my own experience, but even more so, I think, by watching students, is that human beings have an incredible capacity for learning and growing. It's true that I've seen some first-time flyers who were too scared to actually take a swing. That does happen. But I've seen exponentially more first-timers who, despite being visibly and often quite audibly scared, work through their fears and do something that they had never imagined doing a year or a month or even a minute earlier. They swing through the air on a flying trapeze. I've seen people on the board with tears streaming down their face who trust in the staff and trust in themselves enough to go for it, to let go of that riser ladder, to grab the bar, and to take a swing. The willingness and commitment of the learner is part of the story, but it's only one part. The other part is recognizing the role of teaching, of mentoring. Thinking back to my own story, there's no way that I ever would have tried to catch and much less succeeded if it had not been for other people supporting me and pushing me. Thanks to Mandy and Lizzie, my two primary coaches, and a whole host of other supportive people, I actually went through with it. And what's funny is that even though I had seen Mandy go from flyer to teacher, I had never even considered that possibility for myself. And it took several months and literally six suggestions for her words to reach me. And so I wonder, how many other experiences like that are out there for me, for you, for us? What amazing possibilities are right in front of our faces that we can't see? What have you always wanted to learn or to do? I also wonder how many opportunities we're missing, you and I, to be mentors, to support someone else in their learning, to see in them something that they may or may not be able to see in themselves. Sometimes all it takes is a simple question. Hey, have you ever thought about trying this? Have you ever thought about painting or being a coach or singing in the choir or whatever? Give it a shot. I think you'd be great. Sometimes mentoring is about dramatic life changes. Most of the time, though, it's just helping people imagine what might be waiting for them over the horizon. Our lives are more, so much more, than just past deeds. Our lives are also present decisions and future possibilities. And though we can see some of what's in front of us, we cannot know for sure what's going to come into view. All we can do is keep moving forward and hopefully help others to do the same. May it be so. Amen.